Because the word is a discerner of the intents and thoughts of the heart. And Jesus wants to minister to you. He is your intercessor, and he's looking for a way into your life to strengthen you, to make up what you lack, and to provide opportunities for you that you'll recognize. He wants to discern those things in you. That's why the word is reading you. And when you look into the word, you're looking, it's looking right back at you. And you know what? It's a big kiss from your big brother. He is the word of God. Amen. Well, last week we talked about revelation knowledge, and that was part of, we prayed that this morning. And it goes in line with Paul's prayer about praying for, asking God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And revelation knowledge is the kingdom system by which the body of Christ is fueled. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and revelation knowledge is the substance of faith. It's the economy and how it works. You know why? Because revelation can't be hacked. Information can be stolen all the time, but the God's revelation knowledge cannot be hacked. It comes from God himself. He imparts it. And when he imparts revelation to you, nobody can take it away from you. When, if you receive something from God, nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can say anything to you that will dissuade you. That's how powerful revelation knowledge is. Revelation knowledge comes to us as we meditate on the Word of God and we pray the Word of God into our lives. That's how it comes. If it came any other way, we would have been told. But Paul said this. Let's look at verse 17. Verse 17 says that the God... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go, God. Oh, yeah. It says that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. It's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to have revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge takes the knowledge of God and makes it alive and kicks it into gear. Overdrive. How's that, Manny? Overdrive. Amen? Amen? Actually, it's knowledge with a jet engine on it. A supersonic jet engine. The main avenue by which God speaks to us is his word. That's one of the ways. There's other ways he communicates to us, but if it doesn't match up to the word, then it's not of God. If it is not scripture or scriptural, it is not of God. So the word of God is the standard, and that's how God speaks to us. That's why the world hates it so much, because the God of this world has no defense for it. Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness, Satan himself, with the word of God, saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Amen? He doesn't have any defense for it. He doesn't have any argument. You can't argue with the truth. There are people who do, but they lose. You know, Paul told Timothy, those are the kind of men who oppose themselves and get into a place where the devil just puts a ring in their nose and leads them about according to his will. Boy, that's scary. That's scary. Much easier being led by God. We are the voice of God in the earth. Amen. It's just that simple. It says in Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, hearkening unto the voice of his word." You want to excel in strength and spiritual dynamic strength? Hearken unto the voice of his word and speak it. Believe it, receive it, stand on it, and speak it. Speaking is the other part of faith. The devil doesn't care what you believe as long as you keep quiet about it. You're no danger to him. But once you speak it, it becomes a threat. Because when you start speaking his word, that word is equal to the actual event that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same thing. And he fears it. And he runs from it. And he has no defense for it. So he has to leave. When you speak the word of God, the Bible doesn't say you'll have what you believe. It says you'll have what you say. Amen. Believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. Amen. Say that with me. Believe it in your heart, speak it with your mouth. Once again, believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. Once more. Believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. You're going to need those words to rise up in you sometime, maybe very soon, when you're in a situation and you'll hear Pastor Tom say, well, believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. And then you're going to say, yeah, let me see. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He is on my side. He stands for me. He has forgiven me of my sins. In him I have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. I have an inheritance in him. In him. In whom we have an inheritance. In whom I have forgiveness of sins. You have it. It's already been given. God forgave you when he raised Jesus from the dead. Whether you receive it or not, it's totally up to you. If you let the devil push you around and say, well, you know, you're different. Has he pulled that one on you before? You're different. You're not like them. Yeah, they're forgiven, but not you. I mean, you got to pay this price and everything, and you've got to do this. Has that voice ever come to you? It has to. That's a big time. He wears that out on new Christians and old Christians alike. He does. He gave us his word. The word was first spoken by him so it could be written. And it was written so it could be spoken by you. Cha-ching. That's, his word comes to life when it's spoken. Amen. That's when the seed is planted. That's, and your praise waters it. And you just keep on letting, keep on planting the word and planting the word and planting the word, sowing it and sowing it and sowing it. And pretty soon you'll have a garden. You'll have a forest, amen, of blessing and strength. And wherever you look, yeah, I'm strong. Yeah, I'm blessed. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. And all of this stuff starts drawing a picture in your mind. And when you're looking into this, it starts describing who you really are on the inside, who your recreated spirit is. This is a mirror. How many of you know that mirrors don't lie? I said, mirrors don't lie. They don't. In fact, you get a certain age and you want to kind of avoid the mirror. But this mirror is absolute truth, and this mirror never lies. And if it says you're blessed, no matter what your situation is, you have the opportunity to believe that your situation is more powerful than the word. Or you can agree with the word and watch the blessing be multiplied in your life. John, can we go back to verse 3 of Ephesians 1? Kind of shooting from the hip right now. But it says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, everybody say has. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. So in Christ, you are blessed. So if it doesn't look like you're blessed, you have a choice. Am I going to believe what I see, or am I going to believe the mirror that cannot lie? And I can say, yes, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. And the devil says, give me one reason why you're blessed. Well, the word says so. It is written. Amen. What can he say? And he gets out of the way, and all of a sudden you start getting blessed. You get a phone call, an opportunity, whatever that comes to comes to light. But it starts here. When you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. Amen. Say it. God has empowered me. God has enabled me. God has made me alive in Christ. God has raised me up with Christ. And God has seated me together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. In this world, as well as the world to come. Oh, I said in this world. You are seated with Christ, and you are seated, and you have his authority, and you have been authorized to speak his word. You know, when God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that licensed you and authorized you to live by the word of God and expect it to come to pass. You look like I just shot you. Those words from Jesus said that you have every right and the authorization and the license to expect his word to come to pass in your life, to live by his word and expect it to produce for you, expect it to rise up in here when you need it. Meditate on these scriptures and renew your mind with them so you think like God and you talk like God and you walk like God. Words are powerful, and if the devil is coming at you all day through media and everything, those words are weapons, and they are designed to kill your faith, steal your joy, rob you of your hope. So you got to answer back. People say to me, take care for nothing. Take care for nothing. Take care. Okay. No, I cast all my cares on him, for he cares for me. I care for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Right? That's the same thing, anxious. Be careful for nothing. I don't take those cares on me. Even if they say, you know, that's getting a little ridiculous when you're talking like that. No, it's not. You know what's more ridiculous? When you get in such bondage because your own words work to death in your life and curses in your life. You know, that's you're giving devil license when you speak his word. When you speak God's word, you're giving him license to bring blessing and empowerments to you. Open up the windows of heaven and say, here, walk in this. You honor me when you honor my word. That's what the Lord says. Getting anything out of this today? Yes. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the church has preached the supremacy of sin and Satan. And then they present God like this little beggar who's begging for a little place to operate in the world. And when the power of God, the resurrection power of God, has been in the church the whole time, empowering the church. This is what we talked about last week, and I'll say it again. When Jesus was raised from the dead, more power and more ability was demonstrated through him than at any time ever in the universe. Other people were raised from the dead in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus raised them from the dead. But there was never a display of power like that. The display of power that came when Jesus rose from the dead was the greatest display of power ever that was released. And it raised him from the dead, took him out of hell, threw out all the opposition. When God created the universe, he had no opposition. There was nothing there to oppose him. He just spoke and it happened. But the whole earth and man's dominion in the earth, who was controlled by the God of this world, was still controlling this whole thing. And he spoke, it's enough! And he raised him from the dead. The power that was released then was enough to undo everything that Satan did in Adam. And it was enough to do everything that Satan did in you. Whatever damage was done to Adam was undone. Whatever damage was done in your life was undone. So next time a thought comes, a thought of bitterness, of hatred, lust, temptation for anger, to hatred, and to vengeance, or whatever it is, you say, You know what, devil? You're barking up the wrong tree. The power of God was released in me when I was raised up with Christ. That same power undid everything you did in my life, and I am his, and get out of here in the name of Jesus. I have been set free. Nobody can do that, but the truth did it. The truth, when you see the resurrection, the way Paul saw it, see the four Gospels. The four Gospels give you a picture of what happened to Christ. It's like a photograph. But when, and those are the four Gospels. Paul said, my Gospel is his revelation where he saw the revelation happen the way God saw it. And he saw that power released, and he saw that amazing thing. In verse 17 through 23, he's praying that you would see the same thing that he saw. The power of that resurrection and realize it in your life. He is out. He's a has-been. Don't you want to dance? I mean, this stuff is really, this is more than just toe tapping. This is, I want to dance, dance, dance before the Lord. I want to sing, sing, sing. Praise him some more. I want to shout, shout, shout. Shout in the house, I want to praise the Lord. Did you ever realize this too? Nowhere in the New Testament does God ever make a distinguishing difference between the head of the church, Jesus, and you. Nowhere. There's no difference between Jesus and you as far as the Bible is concerned. Give you an example. When Saul of Tarsus rode into towards Damascus and he was knocked to the ground, did Jesus say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? Nope. What did he say?
Why do you persecute me?
Me.
Yeah.
Jesus doesn't recognize any difference between you and him. When the devil hurts you, he takes it personally. Amen. That's how one makes it. This is where the supernatural power of the blood really comes into realization. Do you believe in the supernatural power of the blood? Because if you don't, you're still in your sins. It supernaturally washed your sins away. They don't exist anymore in the tables of heaven or anywhere. They're gone. Bluey. Bluey. You know, when I came up here this morning, did you say, there's Pastor Tom and his head? No, it's all one. And my head, you know what? My head can't get anywhere in this room without my body taking me there. Think about that for 2 minutes. Because I'll tell you something, God doesn't do anything in this world except through the body of Christ.
Amen.
He has limited himself to you. And when we don't understand the power, the resurrection power that has lifted us up to where we are in this. Look at this. Jesus said this in John chapter 20. He said, whoever sins you remit are remitted to them. Whoever sins you retain are retained to them. That's the kind of authority he has given you. Then you say, Father, forgive them, da, 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 da. Have you forgiven them? Or have you retained them? We really hold a lot more of the reins as the church, the redeemed church, the body of Christ in the earth than you understand. God has really... He said, all power is given unto me. And then he conferred all of that right back on the church when he said, therefore, go and preach the gospel. Cast out demons is the first thing he said. Cast out demons, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. That doesn't mean you can go play with snakes or drink poison. There are people who do that. There are church services that do that. They'll bring bags of rattlesnakes and they say, well, if he bites you, that means you have sin. Is that scriptural?
No.
No, because the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You play with the snake, you're going to get bit. Adam played with the snake and it bit him. We're in a terrible time in this country right now, and truth has become optional, especially where our government and our elected officials are. Well, I use the word term elected loosely. Do you remember all the Trump rallies? We're trying packed stadiums and arenas and airport tarmacs, and people were outside trying to get it, and there was standing room only in these places, just packed. The excitement and that was generated, and everything. And then you look at the Biden rallies, and both of the people that were there were confused because they didn't know if he was really cognizant to understand where he really was. We know.
If he was awake.
If he was awake, yeah, Sleepy Joe. But the thing is, we got there because we allowed it.
Right.
Look at the country now. Look at the mess we are in with the borders. Borders just wide open. I mean, from every nation, they're coming over. That means Afghan terrorists. Unvetted, just come on in. Big Pharma is now ordering the FDA. The Food and Drug Administration used to regulate all the food and pharmaceuticals, their processing, their production, their distribution, and all of that was all regulated by the FDA. Now Big Pharma is telling them what they'll approve for their own profits. And there's other things, too. I mean, major corporations have been blackmailed by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Both of them are Marxist communist groups, and you go on their website, they say it right there. They're not hiding that. Mm-hmm. And they're ordering companies around.
Right.
Now he's weaponized the Justice Department to go after parents who want to ask legitimate questions about what kind of education their children are getting, and he's calling them domestic terrorists. You see how ridiculous this is. Maybe what they should do is burn down the schools and murder people in the streets, and we'll call that a peaceful protest. I'm not saying to do that. What I am saying, though, is do you see how ridiculous this is and how demonic this is and how lost we've become? This is serious stuff. And we are the ones that hold the resurrection power that can undo all of Satan's works like that.
Amen.
If we can just get together.
Yes.
Look in the mirror and see who you really are.
Yes.
Let's go to some things here. I wrote some things down. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Look in the mirror. Who's in you? Christ is in you. Christ lives in me. I have been made alive in Christ. You have the life of God, the Zoe life of God, the substance that makes God, God, the divine nature. You have that in your spirit. You say, wow, that's a big slice to cut off there. I didn't cut it off. God did. Jesus called it eternal life. That when you receive, he said, for God so loved the world. He's talking to Nicodemus. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have, what?
Eternal life.
And that eternal life is called Zoe, and it's the life and nature of God. It's what makes God, God. That's what ticked off the Pharisees so much. What are you saying? He said, if they believe in me, they'll have the life and nature of God. That's what he was saying. See, we lose that in the English, but the Greek brings it out. Philippians 4:19, all my needs are supplied. Look in the mirror. Are you going to look at your natural supply or look in the mirror and say, this is what I have? All my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what the mirror tells you, regardless of what life tells you. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. See, you are an overcomer. Because why? Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Yeah. The greater one is in me. You guys here this morning? Come on. Go on. The greater one is in you. And you can do all things through Christ. There is nothing that you cannot do because Christ is in you, and the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal body. In your mortal body. Woo! That'll kick a stained glass window out. What was that we said the other day? That religion makes rules, but the truth makes freedom? Or something like that? No, religion sets rules, but truth sets free. Amen. Look in the mirror. You are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. First of all, you're loved. When you don't feel loved, you look in the mirror and say, yeah, he loves me. It says so right here. It is written. The devil says, well, he doesn't love you. It is written. And you can stand up to him and say, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and he undid all of your works in me. Your body starts saying, you're not feeling well. By whose stripes I was healed. Well, you don't look like you're healed. By whose stripes I was healed. Well, you don't, do you feel good? By whose stripes I was healed. Well, come on. By whose, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Take your package and go, get out of here. Take your lies and your deceit. He is a liar. He is a liar. He is such a... just a... cucaracha. My apologies to cockroaches everywhere. But the devil is worse than that. No roaches in heaven. No, they're barred. It says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So if there's darkness in your life, you just say, you know what? The amazing power that raised Christ from the dead undid Satan's work in me.
Amen.
Undid his works in me. That power that raised him from the dead can never be taken back, and it was released. And it went all the way back to Adam, to the last person who will ever live. I have been delivered from darkness. Jesus said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he'll have the light of life, and that's me. And that's me. I said, that's me. I have the light of life. His blessing. His blessing. I've been delivered from the power, and I've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You want to look in the mirror? You've been translated into the kingdom of Jesus. Oh, in whom? See, somebody asked Brother Hagin, what's the best way you can study the Bible? And Brother Hagin says, well, go through the New Testament and the letters. Everything that says in whom, by whom, from whom, by whatever. In whom, there's about 140 scriptures in there. Just study, underline those scriptures, memorize them, write them down, and come up with a confession for them. There's 140 of them in the New Testament that tells you who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, where you are seated in Christ, and all that you can do in Christ and through Christ. Amen. Let the Word define you. Let the Word reflect to you who you really are in the Spirit, that you are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So don't look at this like, yeah, I've heard this before. I know that. No, you don't. You've heard it. But you see, revelation knowledge is not something you hear. It's something you see. that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened to know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand. Pray these prayers. Pray them. Build them into your spirit. Build them into your spirit and let the Holy Spirit unlock the meaning behind all of that, and you can get it and renew your mind and flush out the old way of thinking, the old way of talking, the old way of believing, and start putting the Word of God to work in your life, and it will liberate you. You're looking at it right here. I was a drugged out, addicted to everything you can do, rock and roller. I got saved. Have I made mistakes since? Oh, yeah. Big time. But God didn't abandon the blood that washed me in the first place. He didn't jump ship just because I ran into a storm. He reconciled me. He came and started saying, "Here, son, I know you're confused. But look, just look at the power. Look at that which is in you that undid all the works." It says, "For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might undo all the works of the devil." That's why he came. Let him undo those works. Let him untie all those knots of confusion and misunderstanding. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of him are you," excuse me, "in Christ, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption." That was part of our last month's series. Did you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ? Let me introduce you to yourself. Take one hand here and one hand here and shake hands with yourself. And say, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Glad to meet you. Old, out, new, in." Is that simple? Even this lightning fast mind could figure that out. It is simple. You go, you look in the Word and go, "Oh, that's me?" God's saying, "Yeah, that's you. That's my boy. You are his workmanship." He's not finished with you. He's pledged to fulfill his work in your life. This is the reality. You know, let me say this. I think it was P.C. Nelson wrote this. The gospel of Paul, the Pauline revelation, was not the photograph of what happened to Jesus, but the MRI of what happened in Jesus from God's point of view. The gospel, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at Jesus from man's point of view. Paul's letters look at it from God's point of view. When you see that, you understand, and this is what P.C. Nelson said. Thank you, darling. I'm going to quaff. Deer Park, that's good water. There you go. See, here's where it all kicks into gear. That's why the devil's trying to do this. You can't look at Jesus in his present day ministry and look at yourself with any kind of power or understanding if you don't look at it from God. P.C. Nelson said this, and I've studied E.W. Kenyon and all these guys who really go into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, the Pauline revelation are the advanced teachings of Jesus Christ unuttered. So if you want the advanced teachings of Jesus, read Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and Hebrews. And as it begins to reveal itself to you, you'll find what happened from the cross to the throne had everything to do with you. And the same thing that Jesus inherited when he rose from the dead is yours.
Amen.
Isn't that rich?
Yes.
Do you know how valuable you are? That he would shed all of that upon you? We see the crucifixion and say, yeah, that was bad. But you don't know what he went through in hell. There's people say Jesus never went. He went to hell. And if he didn't, you'd have to.
That's right.
He took your death into his spirit. He took your sin into his body and his spirit. His mind was torn. That's what the crown of thorns was for the emotional healing of the soul. All through the resurrection power of Jesus, it was released to undo everything that Satan did in you.
Amen.
Everything. And that next time a wrong thought comes about anything, you can say, devil, you can pack up now. I'll tell you why. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And he undid everything that you did in me. You have no, just like Jesus said, he has no place in me. You have no place in me. I am a joint heir with him. Yes. And everything that's true about Jesus is true about me. And you have no place in me.
Amen.
So get out! Yes. And when you mean business, the Holy Spirit does too. Mm-hmm. And he will back you up. Here's something. If you ask people why they get married, one of the most popular answers is in this psychology, whatever it is, marital. You say, well, I feel that he completes me or she completes me. You're an idiot. We love you, but you're an idiot. You just pawned off what he did for you and gave it to somebody else who has no idea what's going on inside of you, and he does. That's why I say that. Yeah. You're ignorant of it, but, you know, you're an idiot for saying it, for thinking that. The Bible says that you are complete in him.
Yeah.
Yes. We are complete in him. Yes. Nobody else could do that. Right. Nobody else could do that.
Yes.
You are complete in him. Mm-hmm. You know, the hours that you spend alone with him or whatever, praying. Let him siphon out the bitterness. Let him siphon out the venom.
Yes.
Let him siphon out all of the unforgiveness, the anger, the angst, and all of these things that you really, if you let fester, they will control you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And let him siphon all that out, but at the same time, open your heart to him and say, fill me with your stuff. Give me your stuff. I need your stuff. And you know what he'll say? Read my word. It's all true about you. It's my story about you. It's what I've longed to put in you, renew your mind with, since I formed you in your mother's womb.
Hallelujah.
This is your mirror. Sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6. There's only one chapter, so it's Philemon 6. That the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good work, every good thing which is in you, in Christ. Acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. I'll say it again. Every good thing that is in you in Christ. The anointing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Wisdom, understanding, the knowledge of God, revelation, the resurrection power of God, the healing power, dunamis, kratos, and ishkus, the powerments of God all working together in you. Your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge every good thing that is already in you in Christ. Just look in the mirror. I mean, this stuff is good. It's rich. It's powerful. Take this word. Here. There's a confession on the back of your bulletin. We'll close with this. Have you gotten anything out of this today? Has this been liberating for you? Has this been a foundation of power for you? New hope, new vision, new life. Let's read this together. Ready? Read. My faith is not in men, but in exceeding greatness of the power of God. No matter what obstacle I face, His power exceeds it. No matter what voices rise against me in judgment, they are already condemned. God's power exceeds all the power of the weapons against me. His power exceeds my expectations and surpasses all I can even ask for. His power has destroyed him who had power of death. Therefore, I fear no evil. His presence with me exceeds the presence of fear. More are those who are with me than those who are against me. The word of God defines me. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. And all he has done for me has been revealed in heaven and earth. My life is in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Say that three times a day. Pray the Ephesian prayer three times a day. Do it for 6 months. Do it for 3 months. But do it every day. Not just three or four times a day. Do it every day. If you want your life to be different, pray that Ephesian prayer from Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 and chapter 2, 4 through 6. Read those through, meditate them, and pray them into your life, and your life will take on a new meaning. The Bible will take on a whole new meaning. You'll see things differently. I know I did. When I prayed these prayers, I suddenly realized people weren't seeing the truth that I was seeing. Yeah. I was seeing the will of God that people be healed, and they weren't seeing that. All kinds of other things that I started to see, and in just fellowshiping with them, I noticed. How did that come? I prayed these prayers. And His word was working mightily in me. His word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I think or see, the word is working mightily in me. Oh, yeah. The word is alive. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we have your word as a mirror to let us know who we are, what we have, what we can do, and where we are seated. We thank you, Father, that it is our resource to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Thank you, Lord, that we are new creations in you. Thank you that we are complete in you. Thank you that we are healed and whole. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of God that rests upon me in Jesus' name. That's what you can pray. Thank you for the blessing of God that rests upon me. You're blessed. With the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We know that your word will not return void, but will accomplish in me what you sent it to do. In us, what you sent it to do. Thank you, Lord. Amen.